Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, welcome to My City Church Online, and that's our prayer for you this morning, that whatever you're going through, that it would be well with your soul, that on this Resurrection Sunday, that it would be more than just a religious celebration, but that you would be reminded that hope is here because of what Jesus has done for us. And we can declare from the bottom of our heart, it's well with my soul, that we are going to overcome in this season. And today, I'm praying that this word is going to speak to you in a powerful way. If you got your Bibles with me, John chapter 11, and we're going to begin in verse 17, and here's what it says. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, if you ask God, whatever you ask of him, he will grant you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I don't know about you, but that passage right there gives me so much encouragement. No matter what you're going through today, Jesus' declaration is that I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And today I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought, resurrecting hope. Resurrecting hope. And that's my prayer for you today, that hope would be resurrected in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence that's so real. Wherever people are watching, either from the other side of an iPhone or in the comfort of their living room, God, that this would be more than just a religious gathering, but they would have an encounter with the resurrection power of Jesus, and it would bring hope because we believe that hope is here. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've got a question for you today. Have you ever been through a really difficult season in life? I think if we're all honest, we're all kind of going through a difficult season in some form or fashion right now. Some people have lost jobs. Some people are just dealing with the stress of being stuck at home. And it's so interesting to me when people go through difficult seasons. Like, the best of things comes out of people, and honestly, some of the worst comes out in people. Have you noticed that when people get into a difficult situation, everything gets a little cliche unless you're a part of the difficult situation? We have a tendency to give like simple answers to very complex situations. It's this thing called cliches, and cliches are powerful because they're simple, they're overused, but they actually contain a whole lot of truth. But man, when somebody gives you a cliche in the middle of a difficult situation, there's nothing more annoying. And I found that Christians sometimes can be the worst at this. How about some of these cliches like let go and let God? You're like, I'm trying, what am I supposed to let go of? Or when people do this one, you know, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. It's like, I know God's good, but my situation doesn't feel good right now. Thanks for the cliche, but it's not really helping. One of them that's kind of always grabbed my attention, and I know it to be true, but it's fairly frustrating, and it's this: God is never late, he's always on time. Oh man, this one makes me laugh. It's like God's never late, but I don't feel like he's ever early either. You know, he's always on time, but man, can I tell you, if I'm being honest with you, sometimes it just feels like he's this late. And when I'm in the middle of a waiting season, if I'm needing God to show up, even though I know this to be true, sometimes this is difficult to bear. It's like God is on a different timetable than we are. I think we've all experienced this in our life. If we're honest, If you're married, you understand that you and your spouse many times are on a different timetable. Like when we're getting ready to go out to dinner and I go to my wife and I go, hey, babe, how long till you're going to be ready? And she goes, 5 minutes. To a guy, that means I'll see you in 5 minutes. To a girl, it means 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 days or 5 weeks or five more times of asking if 5 more minutes is up. It's like we're on different timetables, and you know what you're talking about. Where's all my guys out there? You know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's sometimes like God is on a different timetable than us. I remember I was on a mission trip to Haiti, and while I was on this trip, I was supposed to be preaching at this church, and the service was supposed to start at 10 a.m., and being a typical American, I think, man, you know, I'm going to show up promptly 15 minutes early before church starts to just to make sure everything's okay, and I get there, and it's coming up on 10 a.m., and there's really nobody there. They're still kind of setting up, and I'm like, I don't know what is going on. Like, you know, is anybody going to show up to church today? And I remember 10 a.m. passed, and it was 10:15, and I went up to one of the leaders, and I said, hey, is everything okay? Are we going to start church? And he goes, oh no. He goes, listen, this thing's going to get started. It's just going to take a minute. And I remember people started showing up, and people are socializing, and some guy kind of randomly got up on a guitar and started playing some music, and people kind of started coming together, and then the music started to turn into praise. And I'm telling you, literally by 11:30, church had started. But once that church service got going, it was a party. I mean, these people knew how to praise. It just took a long time for it to get started. You know, here's the thing that I've learned about God. God is less like an American church service, and he's more like a Haitian church service. It may take him a little while to get started, but baby, once he gets going, that thing is going to kick into high gear. Here's the thing that I want you to understand. Once God starts to move, he's not going to stop. And that should bring hope to you today, that you may feel like you are in the midst of a waiting season. You may be feeling like, God, you feel late. I don't know where you are. I need you to show up on time. But here's the encouragement. God is doing more in the background to bring about a great miracle in your life. And once God gets started moving, he is not going to stop. That's what I love about this story in John chapter 11. We are introduced to a man by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus is sick, and he has his two sisters, Martha and Mary. We know Martha and Mary. Mary's the one that anointed Jesus with oil, and Martha's the one that was stressed out when her sister wasn't helping her. And Martha and Mary, Lazarus is somebody Jesus loves deeply. These are Jesus' nearest friends. And the crazy part about this story is Lazarus has gotten sick. He's gotten deathly sick. He is on his deathbed, and Martha and Mary are in this point where they've decided to write Jesus a letter, and they're begging Jesus to come before Lazarus dies, and they are in the proverbial waiting season. They are believing for a miracle, but they are somewhere between Jesus showing up and waiting on him. And as I look at this story, the first thing that kind of pops out to me that I want you to grab a hold of today is this simple fact. A waiting season doesn't have to be a wasted season. There are going to be times in your life where you are stuck waiting on God. But while you are waiting, don't waste the season. Here's what I found is when I get in a waiting season, usually what begins to happen is the way I waste it is that I begin to worry. I begin to worry about the outcome. How are things going to turn out? Can you imagine Mary and Martha? They are deeply worried about their brother. Here's the thing that I found about worry. Worry, it puts distance between you and God. See, their worry has literally brought to the forefront of their mind the distance that Jesus is between them and the miracle that they are believing for. And they have allowed worry to cause them to fret about the distance Jesus is from them. But here's the other thing that I found in my life is that you can replace worry and you can replace it with worship, because worship brings you close to God. See, that letter was more than just a letter for a favor. It was worship. It was a prayer request. It was saying, God, Jesus, we need to draw near to you. We need you to come to us. And I want to remind you, in your waiting season, it's not a time to worry. It's a time to worship. You got to worship your way through that thing. Maybe take time and write a letter to God. Maybe take time and make your requests known to God. The Bible says if we draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Here's the crazy thing that I found about God is God doesn't have a problem with patience. God is so different than me and you. He has no problem with patience. He has no problem with waiting. In fact, many times He will put us in a season of waiting to develop patience in us, because patience builds faith and faith produces the outcome that we are looking for. You know, the other day I was in the car with my son, and when I get into my car, I wish I was a little bit better about it, but I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I hate putting a seatbelt on, especially if I'm going a short distance. And I was taking my son on a little dirt road behind our house, and I hadn't put my seatbelt on. And my car takes this personally. It doesn't just beep at you. It actually talks to you. It says, "Driver, you need to put your seatbelt on." And my son loves it because he goes, "Daddy, you need to put your seatbelt on." And I was kind of having fun with him, and we were driving, and I'm kind of ignoring it. And the thing just keeps on, it gets more aggressive. It just keeps on talking. It's like it's hardwired to keep on telling me, "You need to put your seatbelt on." And I remember I was getting so frustrated that I actually started talking to my car. I said, "Car, leave me alone. I don't want to put my seatbelt on." And then all of a sudden it hit me that this car is not going to stop. It's going to keep on at me because it is hardwired. Its patience is far greater than mine. It'll keep after me until I put the seatbelt on. You know, I found God is kind of like this in our life. Like, God cares deeply about us. And when we're in a waiting season, He doesn't want it to be wasted. In fact, He wants you to learn through the midst of your waiting season. And He is hardwired to love you. He will keep on calling out to you. He will keep on pressing you on the issue. And here's why. God will wait for you to get ready for your miracle. That in the waiting, you have to understand, not only is God moving things behind the scenes, but God is waiting for you to become the man and the woman of God that you are destined to be. So when you get the miracle that you're believing for, that miracle is not wasted. That miracle is effective. I've just found that God is patient. He's long-suffering, and He's always up to something. It may feel like it's taking a while for Him to get moving, but let me tell you, when you're ready and the timing is right, when God kicks into gear, I want to tell you this, He will move quickly in your life. Don't waste your waiting season. I love that Mary and Martha didn't waste their waiting season. In fact, they decided to write a letter or a petition to Jesus saying, "Jesus," and this is how they write it. They say, "Jesus, the one that you love is sick. Will you come? If you come, this situation is going to turn around." You know, I've got this question for you today. If you were trying to get Jesus' attention, what would you write to Jesus to get His attention? Like, what would you write in the letter? Like, for some of us, it's so funny. How would we appeal to Jesus? Like, some people, they feel like they gotta appeal to Jesus based on their good behavior. Like, "Jesus, we've been following you. We've been doing all the right things. It's Mary, Martha. You remember me. I'm Mary. I anointed your head with oil. I'm Martha. I've served you diligently. You know Lazarus. He's your friend. And we've done all these good things. So Jesus, because we've done these good things, it's time for you to show up." Like, difficulty, waiting seasons sometimes causes us to get a little bit more self-righteous than we should. Some people, they get overly stiff. You know, they start talking in King James. "The Lord, verily, verily, I say unto you, Lord God Almighty in the heavens." You know, everything becomes hyperbole. And sometimes, you ever seen some people when they get real serious? They just feel like they got to get, like, more aggressive. Like, "Jesus, Jesus, oh Lord, Jesus, 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 we need you to show up. Lazarus is not doing well. We need you." It's like, man, just take a breath. Just take a breath. It's funny when we feel pressure and we feel like God isn't showing up, that we feel like we have to appeal to God in a way that we normally won't. But I want you to see how Mary and Martha appeal to Jesus. They write to Him and they say, "Jesus, the one you love. The one that you love. I want you to grab a hold of this today. Here's what I need you to understand. Jesus' love for you is enough to capture his attention. Just the sheer fact that he loves you means that his ears and his eyes and his, he is open to your requests. You don't have to become uber religious. You just have to talk to him because his love for you is greater than your faith in him. When you do not feel like you have faith, when you are worried, when you are in a waiting season, don't waste it by freaking out, but take rest in the fact that Jesus' love for you is enough to capture his attention. I'm wondering during this season, how have you been appealing to God? Have you been appealing to God based on your merit, your spirituality? Like sometimes in these situations, hear my heart as a pastor, we can become so arrogant to think that our faith in God is stronger than his love for us. The Bible doesn't say that the world had so much faith in God that he sent his one and only son. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. I want you to understand that in this waiting season, you can rest in God's love. And this is where Mary and Martha find themselves. They are appealing to Jesus in a letter, and they are writing to him saying, Jesus, the one you love is sick. They are not wasting their waiting season. But it's really interesting. Jesus gets the letter, and he responds in a way that many of us would feel very frustrated with. Jesus reads the letter, and he realizes that the one he loves, Lazarus, is sick. But he makes this decision not to leave right away, not to go and do their request right away. Instead, the Bible says that he decides to wait two more days. Wait two more days? Like, come on, Jesus, we need you to show up now. Like I know the truth. I know the truth that you're never late, that you're always right on time. But Jesus, we need you right now. But Jesus makes a decision to wait two more days. Here's the second thought that I want you to grab a hold of today on this Easter season, and it's this. Just because you are delayed does not mean you are denied. That just because there is a pause, just because it seems like Jesus is waiting two more days, just because there is a delay does not mean that you are denied. Can I tell you, God may be doing something behind the scenes that is bigger than your current situation. Could it be that the miracle that God is preparing you for isn't just for your situation, isn't just for the alleviation of this problem that you're going through, but it's to be a testimony to people around you? You know, last year I was flying, and I remember I was flying into Denver, and you know, it was in the airport. I had about a 45-minute layover. But while I was on the plane, my phone started going off telling me that my next flight was going to be delayed. And they delayed it an hour and then 2 hours. And I remember going, man, this is terrible. So I went up to like the United Club, and I was sitting there and just kind of relaxing. To be honest with you, I was fairly frustrated. I just wanted to get home. I just wanted to see my boys. I was being delayed from getting where I wanted to go. And as I was sitting there in the lounge area, I looked across from me. And this woman was sitting there, she was all by herself, and tears were just coming down her eyes. And I thought, wow, this looks kind of like a heavy situation. And so my first response was, I'll just keep to myself, and you know, maybe I'll pray for her. So I sat there and I kind of prayed for her, and she kind of looked up at me and kind of made eye contact with me. And I just looked at her, I said, hey, are you okay? And she says, no, I'm not okay. She goes, I've just lost my father, and I'm trying to get home, and my flight's delayed, and all the flights in Denver were being delayed. And I sat with her, and I prayed with her, and I began to share the hope that is found in Jesus. By the end of the conversation, she says, can I just tell you something? She goes, I don't really have a whole lot of faith in God, but I'm walking away from this situation realizing that God sees me. He knows what I'm going through, and I believe God puts you here to have this conversation with me. And all of a sudden, it hit me all of a sudden that my delay was bigger than myself. That even in the midst of a delay, me being frustrated, God had put me in the middle of a situation that God could speak to somebody. See, my delay wasn't a denial. In fact, sometimes my delay is setting me up for a divine appointment. See, what I want you to understand is that Jesus was going to wait two more days, not because he was being insensitive to Mary and Martha, not because he did not love Lazarus. In fact, when the people asked him, they said, "Jesus, why aren't you going?" He says, "This sickness is not unto death." What is he saying? I'm about to do something, but I'm going to let it sit for a couple of days. I'm going to let the people get ready for the miracle that I'm about to do. I'm not going to waste a miracle. In fact, I'm never late. I'm always right on time. And I don't want to just meet Mary and Martha's expectations. I want to exceed them. Here's the thing that I want you to get. If God always meets your expectations, there is no room for him to exceed your expectations. Could it be that the reason you're in a waiting season or you feel delayed is not because you were denied? It's because if God showed up and just met your expectations, it would not be God's best for your life. God actually wants to do something bigger than just meet your expectations. God wants to do something in you before he does something through you. Can I tell you, God wants to move bigger than you could ever imagine. I want you to see how the Apostle Paul wrote about this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Here's what it says. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine." What is he saying? God doesn't want to just meet your expectations. He wants to exceed your expectations. He wants to do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or think. Mary and Martha, I know you are asking me to show up right now before your brother dies. But I'm going to wait two more days because when I show up, I don't want to just meet your expectations. I want to exceed your expectations. See, Mary and Martha, they were reaching out to Jesus. They were going, "Man, you know what I want to do? I want you to show up and I want you to heal my brother." Here's what I want you to understand. Mary and Martha wanted a healing. Jesus wanted a resurrection. They were saying, "Our expectation is, Jesus, that you're going to show up and that you would heal him, you would alleviate the sickness, and that he would not die." But Jesus is telling them, "Listen, Mary and Martha, I don't want to just meet your expectations. I want to exceed your expectations. And so when I show up, I'm not just going to bring a healing. No, I'm going to bring a resurrection." So 2 days later, here comes Jesus. Jesus is walking onto the scene, and here comes Martha, full of worry, she is fretting, and she is running up to Jesus, and she's saying, "Lord, if you had been here, then Lazarus would not have died." You know, I think that many times we feel that way in life, that we feel like if Jesus would have just showed up, then we wouldn't have experienced what we are experiencing. But Jesus is wanting her to know, "Martha, I know it may feel like I'm late, but I'm always right on time." See, Martha is struggling with her expectations not being met. Here's a question that I have for you. What do you do when your situation doesn't match your expectations? What do you do when your situation doesn't match your expectations? I'm going to need keys. Sorry, guys. That's easy, though. I can pick up right from there. Yep, super easy. I was waiting until I got to one of these to be able to, be able to say something. Oh, that's okay. So let me repeat it just a couple more. I'll repeat it like that a couple more times, then come in. All right? So here's the question that I have for you today. What do you do when your situation doesn't match your expectations? See, Martha has found herself in a place where her expectation was a healing. Her expectation was her brother would not die. But Jesus is saying, "I've come to exceed your expectations." And here's what I want you to understand, that in a situation where you have great expectations for God to do something, and it just feels like you're waiting on God, and you're filled with worry, and it feels like you've been denied, but maybe it's just a delay, and your hope has shrank. See, when our expectations are not met, See, our expectations are hope. It's a hope that God's going to do something. And the Bible says that hope deferred makes a heart sick. Martha has found herself in a place where her heart is sick. And so what do we do when our expectations don't meet our situation? Our situation is difficult, it's hard, it's challenging. Here's what I want you to do. When your situation doesn't match your expectation, God is going to give you a revelation. Which means that in the midst of this situation, Jesus is trying to show you who he is. That word revelation can feel a little cliche as well, but let me help you understand this. Jesus is bringing it full circle. He's saying, Martha, I don't want to just heal Lazarus. I want to show you who I am. And Jesus looks at her and says, your brother will rise again. And Martha, still filled with worry or delay, she's having a hard time seeing past the delay, the worry, the pain. And Jesus looks at her and she goes, I know he'll rise again in the last days in the resurrection. And Jesus looks at her and he says, Martha, I'm about to give you a revelation. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, they'll never die. And even when they do die, they do not die because they live on. I am the resurrection. I am the hope. I am all that you need. And if I'm here, anything is possible. So Jesus looks at her and he says, Martha, this miracle, it's not just about Lazarus. It's about what I'm about to do in you and what I'm about to do in every one of these Jewish people that have been here comforting you and mourning you. And he looks at her and he says, roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. And Martha goes, Lord. She still doesn't get it. She still doesn't understand what it means for Jesus to be the resurrection. She says, Lord, if we roll away the stone right now, it's gonna stink. It's been 4 days. It's been 4 days since he's died. See, you have to understand the significance of this in Jewish culture, specifically during this time. They believed that the fourth day was actually the day that somebody was officially dead, because that's when they believed the spirit left the body. Jesus is saying, I want to make a very, very clear point. I know that we all believe that this is finished, that it's done, that he's dead, that he's decaying, that this situation cannot be turned around. So I've waited till the fourth day when everybody believes his spirit is gone, because I want you to understand that I am the resurrection and the life. And they roll away the stone. And the Bible says that Jesus wept. Can I tell you, you may feel like he's delayed or you may feel worried. Can I tell you, he cares deeply. And he looked into that dark tomb and he spoke out of his mouth, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, who he was, resurrection and life, entered that tomb. And here comes a man bound in grave clothes, coming out looking like a mummy, something out of a Michael Jackson thriller video. You know what I mean? He's coming out, you know, coming out wrapped in grave clothes. And Jesus says, loose him. Take the grave clothes off. I think that that's a word for somebody today. Jesus wants to resurrect your hope. He's resurrecting hope in your life. Why? So that you don't have to stay in a dark cave that feels dead and hopeless, but that you can come out and whatever has bound you up from your past, whatever is the grave clothes that smell, that you can be loose from them. And that your life can be a testimony to Jesus' resurrection power. Can I tell you today, if it's not good, God's not done yet. In the end, Jesus is saying, in death and in life, you win if you believe in me, because there's resurrection power. You will live on in eternity, which means for the life of a believer, in the end, we always win. We always win. God always ends things good. So in your life, if it's not good today, it's because God's not done. It's because God wants to resurrect hope in your life. God wants to resurrect a brand new life in him. That's what he said. He said, if anybody believes in me, if anybody believes in me, they shall surely not die, because I am the resurrection and the life. Can I ask you today, do you have that belief? Do you have that confession that Martha made at the end? She says, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the one sent by God into this earth. Do you believe that today, that Jesus came to rescue you from your sin and from your shame, and to give resurrection life back to your body, to resurrect hope in your life, to resurrect faith in your life, to set your life on a brand new course? If you've never made that declaration, that you died on a cross for my sins, and I believe that on the third day you were raised from the grave. Why? So that I could experience the resurrection life that you provide. Right here, right now is your moment to give your life to him, to surrender your life to him. And if that's you today, I want to pray a prayer with you today. And it's not the words of this prayer that save us. It's the condition of our heart. It's like Martha. Jesus is looking at you. Do you believe? We got to have the confession of Martha that says, Lord, I believe. I believe. And we're going to pray a prayer repeating after me. As I lead you through this, I want you to pray it from the bottom of your heart. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. So right now, Jesus, I give you my life. Become the Lord of my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. I'm yours, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, we want to celebrate you, because we believe that you are entering into a brand new resurrected life. And no matter what comes your way, hope is here because of what Jesus has done for us. And no matter what you're going through today, hope is here because he wants to resurrect dead things in your life. He wants to bring back your joy. He wants to bring back your hope. He is resurrecting things inside of us today. So wherever you are, let's lean into worship. Let's go to God in one more song of worship today. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. Let's lift our hands. Let's lift our voices. Let's worship him today.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.